Yom HaZikaron, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my soulmate and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and shalom to all. Today is Israel's Memorial Day, Yom HaZikaron. Israel's day of mourning for the fallen soldiers and civilians killed by terrorists who just want to live in peace in their homeland. However, mayhem and lawlessness continues just like over here and on a daily basis. And it will till Jesus returns. Until then, we are to remain steadfast, anxiously awaiting his call to come up here. Let's pray.
Almighty God, give us strength. Help our resolution to stand up against our enemies, for we acknowledge that we are nothing without you, our supreme being over all. Therefore, we will not fear, despair, or become depressed, for thou art with us and hold us in the palm of your right hand, where no man can interfere with our salvation. We offer up to you these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved ones. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Oh, amen.
And now it's time for a little news.
Okay, so besides Israel's Memorial Day, this week celebrates 75 years as a legal state. Interesting that Jesus in Matthew 24 proclaims that at least some of the Jewish generation to see Israel blossom as the fig tree will still be around to see all things fulfilled. They actually counted the number of Israelis over 65 years, and it was actually 26%, but a fourth of them were even over 80. So, in my opinion, before Israel turns 80, the tribulation, which also begins the last and seventh millennia, will occur. And that is supported by Psalm 90, verse 4, as many of us interpret that to also mean the age of Israel from its last inception. And that's until Messiah returns. And, you know, just saying that, you know what I just said, it just gives me Holy Ghost fluttering in my soul.
Like a confirmation.
Yeah. And let me add to that, Scripture also says God will bring back his people to his land before he returns. And did you know that Israel's population has increased by 12 times since established in May of 1948? Over 7 million Jews live in Israel, which is approximately 75% of Israel's population, where only 5% of the world's Jews lived in Israel in 1948.
Fulfilling prophecy again.
And just a quick comment as we watch America turning woke, especially obvious on TV programs and the news shows, as we witnessed with the removal of Tucker from Fox.
That was very disturbing.
Yeah, but not surprising. As we have said often, Tucker is so anti-establishment, we kind of knew he'd be gone soon, especially when we found out that Fox's 92-year-old owner, Murdoch, turned Fox over to his very progressive son, Lackland, a few years ago.
And put the rhino Paul Ryan on their board.
As well, the evil and biggest investment company in the world, BlackRock, owns 14% of Fox. So it's just a matter of time, especially after Tucker's comments over the Ukraine war, airing the January 6 tapes, and Big Pharma.
More are now turning to Newsmax.
Yeah, but they just don't do the deep diving like Tucker did. But the radio and internet is still a good resource for now. And by the way, no one at Salem Radio has ever told us what we can or cannot say.
Right.
But in my many years, I have never seen the world change so quickly.
He said evil will wax worse and worse.
He did say that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Okay, we welcome your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. You can also sign up for our newsletters and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And it's still free. Mm-hmm. Tonight we now continue in the book of Revelation, chapter 13.
The Antichrist and the false prophet.
And as we mentioned last week, we really don't need a lot of detail because we won't be here when the Antichrist comes on the scene. For the bride of Christ will be in heaven, as typified by John being called up in chapter 4 to fulfill the honeymoon that is required under Jewish customs, which must be for any period of 7, and just happens to be while the 7-year tribulation is happening on earth.
No coincidence there.
You think? And once again, we must reiterate that Revelation basically is in chronological order, as in first the seals, then the trumpets, and then the worst, the bowl judgments. However, on occasion, Jesus inserts an addendum in order to better clarify to John the laborious situation, but with an ultimate happy birth, as we saw last week in chapter 12.
Now in chapter 13, we'll look at the beast
and his sidekick in this very demonic New World Order and the One World Religion.
Very demonic for sure, as we saw in chapter 9.
Oh, I know. Remember the bottomless pit that was unlocked and the fallen angels, and they were let loose, and many entities like those very large locusts with faces of men, hair like women, with lion's teeth and tails like scorpions.
That sting men for 5 months.
Right, and they wished they could die, but they couldn't. Thankfully, all of Israel will have gotten saved by then and are once again totally protected in the wilderness, in the mountains, as we saw last week.
And confirmed in Matthew 24.
And yes, remember, immediately after the removal of his church and just prior to the official start of the tribulation, only the 144,000 Jews were saved. But by the third year, the rest recognized their Savior as a result of the war of Ezekiel 38. So let's begin with verse 1 of Revelation 13, and then we want to point out some passages in Job 41 where we have a prophecy about the Antichrist that is often overlooked and not often read, for it is a pretty sad book. But we don't think of Job as being a prophet.
Nor do many think of Psalms as prophetic either.
Right, but it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in my mind, the whole Bible is prophetic because of typology.
It is, amen.
Okay, let's do verse 1. Then I... We're talking about John. Okay, I'll read it, honey.
Then I...
That's John.
...stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name.
Okay, so the horns means ruler. So the Antichrist will dominate over 10 regions of the world, each with its own leader. And they wear diadems, which signifies they are appointed rulers or kings. Now, one of the names of the beast who lives in this sea is Leviathan from the book of Job 41. With 34 verses describing this beast, so you should read it all. But we only have time for a few. So, honey, could you please read Job 41, verses 1 through 4, and let's read from the original Masoretic text.
All right, verse 1, can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook or with a cord hold down his tongue? Can you put a reed rope into his nose? Or pierce his jaw with a thorn? Will he multiply pleas for help to you? Or will he speak soft words to you? Will he cut a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever?
In other words, for a while, they will think he's working for them. But in reality, they will be his slave.
Sort of like Washington.
Yes, so true. Anyhow, he's pretty tough going, and verse 4 is the key verse.
Will he cut a covenant with you?
Oh, yes, he does. And, of course, that is confirmed in Daniel 9, which it's at that moment when Israel partners with the son of perdition that all hell breaks loose, and the 7-year tribulation, called Jacob's trouble, begins.
but the labor pains do result in Israel's new birth.
And that's the good part in all this.
Oh, so God here in the book of Job gives a good description of Satan who will empower the Antichrist.
Yes, indeed. And as you read on, you'll see more. And the last verse, 34, closes with,
he is king over all the children of pride.
So no doubt who this entity is. Okay, so we also have another scripture happily showing his demise, talking about Leviathan, in Isaiah 27:1.
In that day, the Lord, with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he,
meaning Jesus,
will slay the reptile that is in the sea.
Notice he's called a reptile and a serpent, like the serpent who tempted Eve, so it had to be Satan. Also notice the idiom, in that day. And it continues in verse 2 of Isaiah 27 to tell us the season this will happen.
In that day, a vineyard of delight. Sing to it.
So, vineyards ripen in the fall. Also worth mentioning is in verse 13, Isaiah adds even more details.
In that day, a great trumpet will be blown.
And as we've taught often, that is the idiom for the fall feast of Yom Kippur.
And when Jesus returns in Revelation 19.
Right, at the great trump, verse 31. So, John sees a beast coming out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns with crowns. The sea means peoples, more likely from the political arena. The seven heads represent the seven empires of the world. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Roman Empire, who, by the way, had 10 emperors. And soon to come, the New World Order, led by Rome, will also have 10 regional leaders.
For a while, till three are removed.
Yes. Remember Daniel 7:8 says, another horn from among the 10 is described as the beast who comes out of Rome. Anyhow, each of these individual empires had a certain attribute, but the Antichrist, well, he's going to have all of them combined, especially the last four as originally prophesied in Daniel 11. So let's look at that, Revelation 13 in verse 2.
Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard.
Swift, acting like Greece was.
His feet were like the feet of a bear.
Strong in influence and strength, as in Medo-Persia.
And his mouth like the mouth of a lion.
Rich, royal, and yet sinister. That's Babylon.
The dragon,
which is Satan,
gave him his power, his throne, and great authority.
And besides, coming from Rome. Many scholars think he'll have some Hebrew ancestry from the tribe of Dan.
Dan was the first tribe to go into idolatry.
Well, and even more so, the prophecy given by his own father, Jacob, in Genesis 49:17, calling him a serpent and a viper. So surely a clue. And don't forget, Dan's mother was a Gentile.
Bilhah.
Yeah. So not all Hebrew blood, and not from Judea or Samaria.
Rather a northern tribe.
So he could identify as an Israeli, just not 100%. So with that said, I'm thinking the Antichrist will have some Hebrew heritage, but not a lover of his father's God, as Daniel 11:37 tells us.
But we'll pretend to for a while.
In fact, Daniel 11 first prophesies about Antiochus Epiphanes, which we know is a type of Antichrist, which Daniel then does go on to describe the Antichrist in verse 36 through 39.
Yeah, so check that out.
With that all said, there are some pretty corrupt leaders out there having Jewish heritage living today that need to be chastised by God. And, of course, I think of George Soros.
And now his son, too.
Yes, and even Prime Minister Shimon Peres of Israel threw his people under the bus. And we can't overlook how Prime Minister Sharon moved his own people out of Gaza by force.
And now look at it.
Mm-hmm. And here is an interesting scripture from Zechariah. for those of you who still think the Antichrist just might be a Muslim, that Zechariah 11, if you could read verses 16 and 17.
For indeed I will raise up a shepherd.
Implies a Hebrew.
In the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand, but he will eat the flesh of the fat.
So that's probably a pig.
And tear down their hooves in pieces. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock.
Did you catch that? Leaves the flock?
A sword shall be against his arm and against his eye.
His head wound.
His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded.
So his deadly wound is healed, but blind in the right eye, and his arm withers. One more very important tidbit. We can't forget Daniel 9, 26 and 27, using proper hermeneutics, that is, says that he will be from the same area of peoples that destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D.
And that was the Romans.
Some have thought he will come from the royal line of the House of Windsor, like King Charles or Prince William. Still others, as myself, are looking at the next pope, perhaps also a Jesuit, since Pope Francis is his forerunner, making many heretical and political statements over the last few years. Naturally, we are expected to think of the popes as being more religious, but as their history and flag portrays are also very political, and the religious aspect is sometimes just a cover. Now, not always. There have been some good popes. Most political world leaders do kiss his ring, and many even bow down. But you know what clinched it for me?
When this pope said, even atheists can go to heaven.
Yeah, and many other things. This is definitely an antichrist statement, if I ever heard one. And, of course, as I said, there's been many other remarks. But people are deceived, and they just refuse to see. Okay, Revelation 13, verse 3.
And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast.
We just read Zechariah's prophecy about his eye and arm, and when he dies, Satan totally takes over his body and is resurrected to imitate Christ.
So it's Satan himself covered with man's flesh.
Exactly.
So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
Now, people will agree to worship him at this time, and they're going to take his mark. And it's probably going to be a chip containing AI to track them and perhaps make them complacent. So let's look at Revelation 13, verse 5.
And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months.
That would be the last 3.5 years, verses 6 and 7.
Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who tabernacle in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints.
That would be the tribulation saints.
And to overcome them.
Those that were martyred.
And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation.
In verse 8.
All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
And again, dwell on the earth is an idiom for the unrighteous, also called earth dwellers. Why? Because they wanted to make earth their home rather than heaven. And he will be able to overcome the tribulation saints. However, and this is what makes us different, he is not able to overcome the bride, praise God, for we are sealed. Okay, let's look at verse 9.
If anyone has an ear, let him hear.
Notice now it omits what the Spirit says to the churches because we're gone. Verse 10.
He who leads into captivity.
That would be of Satan's bondage.
Shall go on into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patient and the faith of the saints.
That's, of course, the tribulation saints. Now, here comes the description of the false prophet, not from the sea, but from the earth, which denotes religious, or it could mean Israel, whereas the sea denotes Gentiles. Now, the false prophet will be handpicked by the Antichrist to head the one world religion. Again, speculation as to who they are can be futile, but we do like to guess, because I guess you could say it's fun. All right, read verse 11.
Then I saw another dragon coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and a spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth and in the sight of men.
That's duplicating Elijah, 1 Kings 18 and Revelation 11.
Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast.
And notice that it's in the sight of the beast.
Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many would not worship the image of the beast to be killed.
And this is not AI, but rather Satan possessing the image. Although some might think it's an AI robot, which they are preparing the masses for right now. Verse 16.
He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads.
Again, counterfeiting God's mark on the 144,000 and in Ezekiel 8, verse 9. The hand is where they wear the tefillin, strapped to look like a sheen, which is God's initial, and on the forehead is the phylactery, also with God's sheen on it. Verse 17.
And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666.
So it obviously is a man. And by the way, the name on all the Pope's crowns is Vicarius Filii Dei, meaning vicar or in place of Son of God. And his number in Roman numerals does equal 666. Now, we're going to have a picture and more details about this in our next newsletter. But how about you? Are you saved? Do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it while it's still day, for the night is coming. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, those who love her, they're going to prosper in all different kinds of ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, Shalom.
Hello.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.